Rather than submit, some people preferred to argue about Christ until all their questions are answered. Well, let me suggest a better way. Submit to Christ, receive Him as your Savior and Lord, and it won't be long before your questions will be answered. He who is the light of the world gives light. As Christ spoke in the temple, the reactions of the people differed. Listen to John chapter 7, verses 25 and 26. Then said some of them of Jerusalem, "Is not this he whom they seek to kill? But lo, he speaketh boldly, and they say nothing unto him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ?" It is obvious that those who had spoken were not the strangers to Jesus who had replied to him in verse 20. Evidently, they were some of the middle and lower classes of Jerusalem who knew both sides. They were aware of Christ's works and also of the enmity of the leaders and were surprised that the Jewish leaders who were present had nothing to say. Thus they asked, "Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ?" That is, have they finally come to the place where they have recognized Jesus as the Old Testament Messiah? We have a further word in verse 27. "Howbeit," they said, "we know this man whence he is, but when Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is." They were wrong in both their statements. They thought that Jesus was from Nazareth, as did most of the Jews of his day. When Christ entered Jerusalem just prior to his crucifixion, the people declared, "This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee." Later, an inscription was placed above him on the cross in three languages, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." But from the Old Testament, as well as the fulfillment recorded in the New Testament, it is clear that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Certainly the Jews would have known this except for their willful ignorance. Secondly, they said, "When Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is." You see, either they were ignorant or they were liars. The Old Testament clearly stated not only where Christ was to be born, but how he was to be born. Because of their blindness to the truth, coupled with their increased hatred toward Christ, they were grasping for any possibility to discredit his ministry. In response to the willful ignorance of some in his audience, the Lord Jesus cried out in the temple as he taught, saying, "Ye both know me, and ye know whence I am, and I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom ye know not." The fact that the Lord Jesus cried out, or more literally, raised his voice to a high pitch, suggests that he was greatly disturbed by the attitude of his hearers. Only in four other places in the Gospels is it said that Jesus reacted in this manner. Usually his speech was quiet and reserved in tone. "Ye both know me, and ye know whence I am." You see, they had the scriptures and were familiar with the prophecies concerning the Messiah. Also, they could have easily traced his place of birth, but they did not want to believe. Our Lord stated his relationship to the Father and then accused his critics of not knowing God. "And I am not come of myself," he said, "but he that sent me is true, whom ye know not." And then in verse 29, "But I know him, for I am from him, and he hath sent me." Christ knew the Father as no one else could, being one with him in his deity. Our Lord's statement, "I am from him," is not to be understood to mean that he was simply another prophet sent on a mission, but rather, in a very definite and strict sense, he was eternally a part of the Father, being the sent one, the Messiah, who came from the presence of the Father. Christ's statement provoked bitter anger on the part of his hearers, for it was blasphemy in their ears. Verse 30, "Then they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him because his hour was not yet come." Here we see the thrilling sovereignty of God at work. Some in our Lord's audience were so embittered that they wanted to arrest Christ and kill him immediately. But by divine intervention, they were restrained. They were helpless before the God of all ages. Now, not all in our Lord's audience were embittered. Notice verse 31. And many of the people believed on him and said, "When Christ cometh, will he do more miracles than these which this man hath done?" Now, believed, as used here, does not mean converted. They believed in the sense that they were convinced that he was the Messiah prophesied in the Old Testament. Those who believed were not the Pharisees and chief priests, but rather the common people. The question they asked was most conclusive. The angry Jewish leaders had no answer. The question implied, "Why need we wait any longer? This is indeed the Messiah, the Anointed One. Why not acknowledge him as our Savior at this moment?" Christ's audience was divided. Some became angry, and some believed after hearing him. There must have been quite a commotion stirring. Verse 32, "The Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning him, and the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him." The leaders of the Jews heard of the debating and arguing and were quick to respond by sending officers to arrest him. But Jesus said unto them in verse 33, "Yet a little while am I with you, and then I go unto him that sent me." Not only were these officers hindered by divine intervention, but they themselves listened to the teaching of our Lord. Christ was on the earth only about 6 months after this incident. Thus, what he said was fulfilled, "Yet a little while am I with you." He also foretold his ascension, saying, "I go unto him that sent me." Then he said in verse 34, "Ye shall seek me and shall not find me, and where I am, thither ye cannot come." Now, several things are intended here. Doubtless, our Lord's words were prophetic, referring to the siege of Jerusalem. At that time, in their calamity, many Jews would realize that Christ was the Messiah. But it would be too late for help, for he would have been crucified. On the other hand, there is meaning in the words for the unsaved. "For every unbeliever listening to me, now is the time to seek and find Jesus Christ. Tomorrow may be too late. For God says in Genesis chapter 6, verse 3, my spirit shall not always strive with man." There are many carelessly neglecting the great salvation God has provided, giving little thought to eternity. They are so busy living for today that they are ignoring the claims of God on their souls. What our Lord had to say to these officers seemed to confuse them. Notice verses 35 and 36. "Then said the Jews among themselves, whither will he go, that we shall not find him? Will he go unto the dispersed among the Gentiles and teach the Gentiles? What manner of saying is this that he said, ye shall seek me and shall not find me, and where I am, thither ye cannot come?" Rarely do closed minds receive spiritual truths. It is quite obvious that these men did not want to believe. They were unwilling to consider the claims of Jesus Christ. It is obvious that the devil added to their confusion. Now, I read in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, "The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Yet, if one desires to know the truth, God will consider the seeking heart. One may not understand all that the Bible teaches, but if he is willing to receive Christ by believing the simple truth that Christ died for his sins and rose again, he can be saved. I wonder if you have ever responded to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Friend, do you know that God loves you? You say, well, I don't think he loves me. If he loved me, I wouldn't be in the state I'm in. I wouldn't be in my present circumstances. He certainly does love you. God didn't put you where you are. You put yourself where you are. God wants to lift you out of these things, and God wants to give you peace. But you must come to him and receive his peace by receiving the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, God's Son. I wonder if you'll take the time right now to think about these things and say to Jesus, Lord Jesus, I know that you died for my sins, and I know I'm a sinner. I want to receive you as my Savior and Lord, and I come to you right now and claim you as my very own. Will you do that? God will meet you, and God will save you, and things will begin to change for you. You try and see. Lord, deliver those, I pray, who are dying in blind unbelief. May they enter into new life in Christ and discover in him the blessed life. May they not put this off, but come to him now, for I pray in his wonderful name. Amen.